This episode of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is brought to you in part by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. If you read the Bible out loud, in public, if you teach Sunday school, or if you just read the Bible to yourself and you have a hard time pronouncing some of the difficult names in the Bible, you need this book. With it, you can easily pronounce any name in the Bible. Go to easybiblenamesguide.com for all the details, and when you decide to buy, be sure to use discount code AB2, lowercase a, lowercase b, numeral 2, for a 20% discount since you're listening to this show. Hello, and welcome to the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 472. I'm your host, Steve Webb. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We are reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track 1 is the Old Testament, track 2 is the New Testament, and each day we alternate the tracks. Shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we're going to read Acts 12 from the New Century Version and Acts 13 from the New International Version. Let's begin. Acts chapter 12. During that same time, King Herod began to mistreat some who belonged to the church. He ordered James, the brother of John, to be killed by the sword. Herod saw that some of the people liked this, so he decided to arrest Peter too. This happened during the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After Herod arrested Peter, he put him in jail and handed him over to be guarded by 16 soldiers. Herod planned to bring Peter before the people for trial after the Passover feast. So Peter was kept in jail, but the church prayed earnestly to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Other soldiers were guarding the door of the jail. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood there, and a light shined in the cell. The angel struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Hurry, get up," the angel said, and the chains fell off Peter's hands. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals," and Peter did. The angel said, "Put on your coat and follow me." So Peter followed him out, but he did not know if what the angel was doing was real. He thought he might be seeing a vision. They went past the first and second guards and came to the iron gate that separated them from the city. The gate opened by itself for them, and they went through it. When they had walked down one street, the angel suddenly left him. Then Peter realized what had happened. He thought, "Now I know that the Lord really sent this angel to me. He rescued me from Herod and from all the things the people thought would happen." When he considered this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Many people were gathered there, praying. Peter knocked on the outside door, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so happy she forgot to open the door. Instead, she ran inside and told the group, "Peter is at the door." They said to her, "You're crazy." But she kept on saying it was true, so they said, "It must be Peter's angel." Peter continued to knock, and when they opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Peter made a sign with his hand to tell them to be quiet. He explained how the Lord led him out of the jail, and he said, "Tell James and the other believers what happened." Then he left to go to another place. The next day, the soldiers were very upset and wondered what had happened to Peter. Herod looked everywhere for him but could not find him, so he questioned the guards and ordered that they be killed. Later, Herod moved from Judea and went to the city of Caesarea, where he stayed. Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but the people of those cities all came in a group to him. After convincing Blastus, the king's personal servant, to be on their side, they asked Herod for peace because their country got its food from his country. On a chosen day, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of God, not a human." Because Herod did not give the glory to God, an angel of the Lord immediately caused him to become sick, and he was eaten by worms and died. God's message continued to spread and reach people. After Barnabas and Saul finished their task in Jerusalem, they returned to Antioch, taking John Mark with them. Acts chapter 13. Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the Law and the Prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power he led them out of that country. For about 40 years he endured their conduct in the wilderness, and he overthrew 7 nations in Canaan, giving their land to this people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose I am? I'm not the one you're looking for. But there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him up from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. As God has said, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David.' So it is also stated elsewhere, 'You will not let your Holy One see decay.' Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you." As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. In verse 1 of chapter 12, we read that King Herod had arrested some of the Christians in order to persecute them. And in verse 2, we read that Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And that's all that's said about James. The narrative moves quickly along to the imprisonment of Peter and how the angel came to release him in the middle of the night before he was scheduled to be martyred. But I want to back up there to James. I want to talk about him for just a minute. Which James is this? The verse says that this was James, the brother of John. He was one of the first three disciples that Jesus called at the beginning of his ministry. And at one point, Jesus called James and John Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Well, I was curious about this nickname, so I did a little research. Why did Jesus call these brothers sons of thunder? I had a hunch that maybe it was because they had a commanding presence, perhaps with loud voices. I've got a brother-in-law with a very loud baritone voice. When Mike speaks, everyone in the room hears him. I could imagine James and John perhaps being like that. By the way, Mike is a great guy. His loud voice doesn't take away from that. I love Mike, but he's just got this thundering voice. Well, we do know that Jesus always had a reason for everything that he did. So let's see if Scripture gives us a clue. It's in Mark 3:17 that we learn that Jesus called them Boanerges, but that verse does not tell us why. A clue might be found in Luke 9:54. Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and they passed through Samaria on the way to Jerusalem. While in Samaria, they wanted to stop for the night, but the Samaritan people didn't want them there. Remember, Jews and Samaritans had a hatred for each other. So, since Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem, the Samaritans thought they were Jews, which of course they were technically. So, because of this trouble, James and John asked Jesus if he wanted them to call down fire from heaven to destroy them. Can you imagine? Well, of course, Jesus didn't let them, and he rebuked them at the idea. But their request does suggest that James and John might have been passionate in the least, and perhaps had short fuses to anger. The sons of thunder seems to fit, don't you think? Well, thanks for joining me today. Tomorrow, we'll be back in the book of Isaiah. My thanks to my friendly editor and others who have so generously contributed to the value for value model of support. As you know, I don't take outside advertisers, but that does not mean I don't need financial support. Get more information at support.lifespringmedia.com. I do need your support. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.